Star Market Celtics tonight continues from Madison Square Garden. Our conversation with the head coach, no matter where we are, world's most famous arena or high school gym. It's brought to you by the Star Market. Just for you, digital app, earn rewards. Save on your groceries and gas. Download the Star Market mobile app or visit starmarket.com. A lot of meat on the bone, I thought last night, but I feel compelled to go off the board here at the start. I was going to do this anyway, and then Coach Fizdale talked about it in his media thing before the game. There are many habitual things in your job and my job and a lot of people's jobs. My curiosity is how you prepare for something that never existed before. You had a quote-unquote successful coach's challenge last night. How much time, if any, did your staff spend over the summer talking through this new wrinkle to the game, which has existed in other sports but not here?
When we found out it was going to be something that was going to be approved, I just put one of our staff members kind of in charge of it. He created an edit tape that we all looked at and said, would you challenge this? Would you challenge that? You looked at the timeouts remaining. You looked at all the different factors and variables, and we had like a couple-hour meeting on how we would like to best do that. And then we thought, after watching that tape, two things stood out. Number one is there's certain calls that would be really hard to overturn, and you know we can't get caught up in the players' emotions. And so we actually showed the guys the tape of many times over the past couple years where you know we've disagreed with a call late in the game, and you know we showed them why we couldn't challenge that because of the timeout structure and when the score was and everything else and why it would most likely be called a foul, what we were looking for. So we try to just prepare our whole team for that because inevitably that's going to be something that everybody has to know and trust that, you know, you're considering more factors than just whether or not you thought something was a foul. And there's bias that comes into play. You know, like for me too, there's just emotion. You think you see something and then you go back and film and you look at it and you're like, I don't know. But so we've looked at it quite a bit.
In real time, what's happening on the bench? Is everybody buzzing in and saying, "Hey, this is one we should challenge"? Are you? How much?
I go straight to Matt Reynolds. I just yell to Matt Reynolds. I say yes or no, and then you know, in the Philly game, we were all waiting on to see that Jaylen play. His fifth foul was the one we were considering the most. But once we saw it, you know, and also the fact that Embiid was bleeding, you know, you felt like that was probably not going to be the one to challenge.
There's because in other sports, in baseball, you can literally hold up your hand and almost stop the game until the replay and get a look at it. Whereas here, a lot of this, the way we were instructed going into the season was, hey, as soon as they hand the ball, there's no flag to throw like football.
So what I'm doing yesterday is I'm watching the official to just determine when he's going to hand him the ball, either out of bounds or he was at the free throw line to hand him the ball. They had met to get together to get the clock sorted, so we probably had a little bit extra time than normal. But it certainly is something. I mean, there's just so many. We're all learning about it. It's going to be, you know, and the crazy part is there's 1,000 decisions in a game, and the most important things are coverages and everything else. And you know, we've just spent 5 minutes talking about a coach's challenge.
And yet it was.
But that's all people are going to talk about. you know, like.
It's just, to me, it's such a fascinating new wrinkle. But let's get into the game last night, which is, we felt not necessarily defense at a high level. Almost the disposition to play defense, that connectivity word we use a lot. There was a baseline throughout that Max and I thought helped keep you in the game until shots eventually started to fall. Is that fair?
Yeah, defense was pretty good. I mean, they hit us with the transition early, and they were coming fast. I mean, you could see on film. Sometimes you just have to get used to the speed of the other team, and we felt that early in the game yesterday. But once we got our defense set, I thought we were pretty good. We were very physical. We took a ton of charges, did a great job of guarding screens. They're just difficult to guard. You know, they put us in a bind with the Ibaka-Gasol pick and rolls because you don't know if they're going to roll. You don't know if they're going to pop. And, you know, a few times our bigs started recovering to them and the guards laid it in. So we have to improve upon that. That was the one thing in the half court that hurt us yesterday.
If this is the data collection portion of the season, is that your data collection from last night?
Yeah, we spent more time on Toronto review than we probably normally would on a back-to-back. We had a breakdown of offense and defense, and then we did our walkthrough and film of New York. There's so much to do.
And so little time to do it. Yep. There are moments, and I know there's sort of a bristling that happens when young players get praised, particularly after what we've seen in the last couple of years. but it is pretty clear that Grant Williams is not the average rookie when it comes to IQ and ability to play in sort of, I guess, more complex situations.
Yeah, I mean, as far as, like, understanding the game, thinking the game, being able to adjust to, you know, different styles, then he's as good as it comes as far as being a young player. Now, you know, he's got some other things he's got to manage. He doesn't have, you know, when he plays the five, he doesn't have the above-the-rim ability of some of our fives. And when he plays the four, he's learning how to guard that more agile perimeter player. But he's really working at it. He's got a good mind for it. And, you know, I said this at the start of training camp or whenever, I think he's going to be in the NBA for a long, long time because he just, his mind is really special.
As a lifelong contrarian, I kind of thought the way the Knicks handled the offseason was really interesting and really smart. And while clearly there's going to be a lot of Barrett and Knox as they develop that high level, those high level young players, they added some really experienced pieces. And when you have guys like Marcus Morris or Wayne Ellington, you see it last night, you're going to be in a lot of games.
Well, you could argue they could have, should have won the first two games.
Yeah, easily.
I mean, especially last night, up three. If Morris's three-pointer goes down with 35 seconds left, they go up four, and that was right on target. He's made that for us a bunch, you know. And this is a good group of players. They're experienced. They have size. They have physicality. Whenever you're playing Marcus Morris and Julius Randle at the three and the four, you better get ready to take some hits.
It's going to be something of a reunion tour, obviously, all year. I don't know what he was like to coach every day, but, man, I really enjoyed Marcus the Dude.
Yeah.
You know, the 2 years he was here, yeah, absolutely.
One of the things that you know, obviously everybody focuses on last year, and we were all disappointed to finish where we finished, but he had a heck of a two-year run with the Celtics, and we won a lot of games. You know, in large part due to everyone's efforts, but he was a big, big part of that. And we probably don't go to the Eastern Conference Finals without him the year before. You know, and here's a guy that, you know, another guy you feel like really, really did everything he could to try to compete and compete the right way. So I'm a fan, you know, just don't want him to win four times this year.
That's the head coach, Celtics and Knicks from Madison Square Garden, next on the WROR Celtics Radio Network.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.